It will stand up to scrutiny far more than what we think are the appalling decisions that China made.
A deepening Australia-China trade dispute. It's Monday, June 28th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. You can find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, China tightening control in Hong Kong. Afghan leaders visit the White House. Space aliens watching us. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Australia has promised to vigorously defend itself after China appealed to the World Trade Organization over duties on wind towers, stainless steel sinks, and railway wheels. The move is the latest episode in a worsening trade dispute between the Asia-Pacific partners. From Sydney, Phil Mercer tells us more.
China has lodged a World Trade Organization complaint accusing Australia of anti-competitive behavior. It's unhappy about duties imposed by Australia, totaling 10.9% on wind towers, 17.4% on railway wheels, and up to 60.2% on stainless steel sinks from China. The levies were introduced between 2014 and 2019. A Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesman said he hoped Australia could take concrete measures to rectify its wrongdoings and bring the two nations' trade ties back to normal as soon as possible. Relations, though, are far from cordial. Differences over Beijing's military ambitions in the South China Sea and anger at Australia's call last year for an independent inquiry into the origins of the new coronavirus that was first detected in China have sent relations tumbling. China also warned its citizens and students not to travel to Australia because of racism fueled by the pandemic. Political disputes have been followed by an escalating trade conflict. Australia recently referred China to the WTO over duties imposed on its barley and wine exports in November. Beijing has responded by lodging its objection to the WTO over the tariffs on railway wheels and other goods. Australian Finance Minister Simon Birmingham told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation Friday that the complaint was petty.
We're confident that our system and those decisions in relation to things like railway wheels will stand up to scrutiny, and that it will stand up to scrutiny far more than what we think are the appalling decisions that China made in relation to Australia's barley industry and Australia's wine industry, which in no way subsidised by Australian governments to dump their products on international markets.
Australia's recent prosperity has been bankrolled by China. Its voracious appetite for natural resources, most notably iron ore, has made China Australia's most important trading partner. However, Beijing's restrictions on barley, coal and wine have cost Australian exporters millions of dollars. For months, attempts by Australian government ministers to contact their Chinese counterparts have gone unanswered. Australian Trade Minister Dan Tehan said he simply wanted constructive engagement with China. Instead, commercial disputes have been referred to the International Umpire, the World Trade Organization, whose resolution process can take years. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Much more on our top story can be found by following us on Twitter at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook. And of course, you can visit us anytime you like at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Anti-government protests grow again in Thailand. UN leader condemns Myanmar military over sexual violence. Aquino, Philippine ex-leader who challenged China, is buried. Chinese ambassador leaves Washington with relations at low ebb. North Korea admits Kim Jong-un lost weight. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and our website, voanews.com. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. July 1st marks the 24th anniversary of the moment when Hong Kong reverted from a British colony back to Chinese rule. While changes to the financial hub were gradual at first, China has been quickly reshaping Hong Kong over the past year. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has more.
On the outside, Hong Kong is still the bustling global financial center of Asia. But within the city, much has changed in the last 24 years. In 1997, rule of this British colony returned to China, governed under the idea of one country, two systems. Anna Chung still keeps the newspaper with a handover on the front page.
It was like a landmark time at that moment that maybe it is a good chance for Hong Kong to belong to China now and bring back the democratic value and all the universal value back to China.
But instead of Hong Kong's democratic values influencing China, the opposite has happened, with the biggest changes felt within the past year, after China implemented the National Security Law as a response to the 2019 protests against an extradition bill, leading to months of confrontations between pro-democracy activists and police. Gatherings such as this year's anniversary of the 1989 pro-democracy crackdown at Tiananmen Square no longer allowed.
We have to improve along with the development that the Hong Kong police will use whatever measures in order to maintain the public order and public safety.
I feel that Beijing was losing face and they need to fix it quickly.
This year, election laws have been amended and Hong Kong films will now be vetted. The national security law gives China broad powers to arrest anyone involved in anti-government activities, creating fear throughout Hong Kong and beyond, says exile Francis Hui.
The biggest change that I've seen is the self-censorship. People start to delete their posts on social media, the posts that they have made about the movements, about China, anything that is like deemed to be criticizing the government or supporting the movement.
There have been mass arrests of activists, which led some Hong Kong activists to flee the territory, including former Hong Kong legislator Bajiao Liang.
I feel that I need to leave, or else I will be in danger.
Also in exile is this man, who calls himself Chai Lao, now in the United States.
Other countries are willing to accept us Hong Kongers. We should leave Hong Kong. If a ship is sinking and we have life rafts, we will, of course, get on them. There's no point in sinking with a ship.
I didn't want to leave, and thinking the fact that if I leave right now, I would never be able to go back home. That is like torturing for me.
Hui, now in the U.S. and other Hong Kongers in exile, will continue their activist work abroad, so Hong Kong does not become just another city in China.
We belong to the land of Hong Kong, and we are Hong Konger, and we should have the ownership of that land.
The exiled pro-democracy Hong Kongers say
Hong Kong has
they will continue the movement to save the culture and people of Hong Kong, unique from mainland China. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
Still to come on VOA Asia, a high-stakes meeting at the White House on the future of Afghanistan. Happening now in Asia, Indonesia is shifting medical emergency units in the greater Jakarta area to tents outside hospitals to create more room for COVID-19 beds. That's according to its health minister. The coronavirus surge has piled pressure on its healthcare system, with hospitals in some cities nearing full capacity. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us on VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden said in his first face-to-face meeting Friday with Afghanistan President Ashraf Ghani that the United States will maintain support for the Afghans' military from abroad, as well as to continue to provide economic and political support.
Well, it's good to see two old friends. We met many, many times in Afghanistan for long hours, and they're welcome here. They've had a chance to meet with all the major players in the administration, from the Secretary of Defense to the CIA, across the board.
The two met Friday in the White House Oval Office as U.S. forces continue their withdrawal from the nation in South Central Asia.
partnership between Afghanistan and the United States is not ending. It's going to be sustained.
Ghani, sitting alongside Biden, said Afghanistan was grateful for the blood and treasure America has spilled during the past two decades to defend its country, which now finds itself facing direct battle against the Taliban. The Afghan government and the Taliban have been holding peace negotiations in Doha, Qatar since last September, with the host government, among others, playing the role of facilitator. But the process has made no significant headway, with each negotiating team blaming the other for deadlock. You can read and see more on this story on VOA Asia Facebook. Astronauts make power moves outside the International Space Station. The Northern Hemisphere sees its longest day of the year. Plus, do you ever get the feeling you're being watched? We have details in News from Space from VOA's Arash Arabasadi.
The Northern Hemisphere experienced the longest day of the year. The summer solstice is a phenomenon that happens not because of Earth's distance from the sun, but because of Earth's tilt toward the sun. NASA's Alex Young says that solar scientists welcome the annual lean.
Depending on the wavelength of light, we can see different features on the sun. We see huge structures in the solar atmosphere. We can see big explosions, things called solar flares or coronal mass ejections. And that's why we like to look at it in all these different wavelengths, because we get a much more complete picture of what's going on in the sun.
Young says studying the sun helps scientists understand solar phenomena that affect our lives, like solar winds and coronal mass ejections, which he calls huge burps of solar material. These burps can disturb communication networks on Earth while creating hazardous conditions for astronauts in space. NASA currently has two research craft flying close to the sun. Since ancient times, the summer solstice has been an annual highlight observed by British pagans and druids. In other news, do you ever get the feeling you're being watched? For all the missions Earthlings have flown into space and the countless telescopes on our planet pointing up, scientists say there's a good chance the telescopes from other worlds are pointing back at us. Cornell University's Lisa Kaltenegger says there's little we can do to change our privacy settings.
Hiding is not really an option as long as you have oxygen in the atmosphere. So whether you send a signal or not, it will be clear that there's life on this planet if they have the same knowledge we do, right? And I assume, again, if you're worried about somebody coming and eating you, you're worried about a technological advanced civilization who could travel that distance.
Astronomers recently found stars in our galaxy where someone looking for Earth could find it. To do this, they reverse engineered a technique for stargazing to instead look back at our home planet. Astronomers calculated more than 1,700 stars in our neighborhood, and the hundreds of probable Earth-like planets around them have an unobstructed view of Earth. And while the late Stephen Hawking warned of making contact with aliens as they could harm us, Kaltenegger says she's not worried.
Honestly, when I look up at the sky, it just looks a little bit friendlier because it's like, ooh, maybe somebody is waving. We just don't know yet.
Finally,
the hatch is open. Great work. Tama and Shane, you guys go be amazing. We'll see you in a few hours. Remember, you are butterflies with biceps today.
And so began this mission outside the International Space Station for NASA astronaut Shane Kimbrough and ESA astronaut Tomas Pisquet. The two reprised their roles as electrical engineers when they finished installing and unfurling an updated solar panel on Wednesday. The upgrades are expected to boost power output on the station ahead of visits later this year from paying passengers and film crews. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and also our website, voanews.com, where you can download our full-length 25-minute programs anytime you like. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.